I missed you, buddies. Too many interviews recently. Woo, but those were fun. But now it's time for just me and you. And today, we're going to get practical. Let's talk about some behavioral tools for how to either increase our focus or increase our calm, or maybe mix the two together in just a sweet little way that way feels just right. This is episode 42, 10 behavioral tools for focus and calm. Let's talk about how to increase our focus or calm from behavior alone. In the spirit of Andrew Huberman, we're not going to talk about drugs or nutrition or supplements or any of that today. Let's focus on pure actions. Actions built into our system, into our body, into our environment that we can use to change how we feel, think, and perceive. So I've collected a set of 10 of these tools. There are hundreds more, but let's just start with these. I'm not going to get too much into the science and the weeds. That'll just have to wait for another episode. And if you don't even want to listen to the 10, if that's too many for you, we can sum it up in one single tool. Action. Movement. Information. Action increases focus, and inaction causes calm. Of course, it's not always going to be that simple, but you get what you pay for. If you only want one tool, it's only going to work 70% of the time. So let's dig into the 10. Number one, and these are in no particular order, number one is the inhale. The inhale is going to increase your energy, your focus. It's going to turn on that sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. So you're basically breathing in air through your mouth or through your nose, breathing in that oxygen and the other gases in the air, and that's going to turn your system on. And then on the other side of that, if you don't want to focus, if you don't want that energy, and instead you want to calm down, relax, what do? You do the opposite. You don't bring stuff into you. You don't breathe in the world. You release it. You let it out. You breathe out. You exhale through your mouth or through your nose. I like to do it through my nose. A lot of people do, but whatever works. Breathing out, extending the exhale, doing a big, long exhale is going to calm you down. There are a lot of different ways to do this. There are a lot of different breathing patterns. This is part of why, for example, the 3-7-8 breath from Andrew Weil works, because you know, you breathe in for 3 seconds, you hold it for 7, and then you breathe out for 8. The exhale is what's emphasized there. Oh wait, I think it's 4-7-8, but same basic principle. The 8 is the larger number. The exhale is the main feature. Same thing with box breathing. You're breathing in, you're holding it, you're breathing out, you're holding it. It's kind of an even sort of split between breathing in and breathing out, but comparing it to how we normally breathe in our ordinary life, where we're just breathing too fast, our inhale tends to be more emphasized than the exhale in our ordinary stressed out lives. Even by doing box breathing, you're at least evening it out to 50-50. Or you can do the physiological side that Andrew Huberman talks about, the double inhale followed by a long exhale, pushing out that air, the carbon dioxide, through your mouth. Yeah, that will calm you down. And once again, it's because you're letting it out more, you know. But if you want to increase your focus, you want to increase your energy, do something like Wim Hof breathing. What's that doing? It's intentionally hyperventilating, essentially. You're emphasizing the inhale. So basic point, we can go through all these hundreds of different breathing exercises out there, but what sort of basically splits it, all those different breathing tactics in two is, are they emphasizing the inhale or the exhale? Yeah, you can get into nose and mouth and all of that, but the key thing is this. And so if you look at, you know, some of these different ones, Wim Hof breathing versus the physiological side that Andrew Huberman loves and talks about all the time, you notice that, oh, the reason this one calms me down is because I'm breathing out with it more than I normally would. And the reason why this one increases my energy and focus and alertness is I'm breathing in more. So, simply put, there's that. Another side of breathing, this is tool number two, is the right nostril versus the left nostril. We tend to think that we're just kind of breathing out equally between the two nostrils throughout the day, but you can do this right now. If you put your fingers or hands up to your nose, don't pick it unless you want to. You can pick it. It's totally cool, but it's kind of off topic. Like close your mouth and breathe out through your nose and feel which nostril is the air coming through. You might notice that it's coming out from only the left or only the right. It's not balanced. You might think, oh my God, my nose is busted. No, normally throughout the day, your body switches between left nostril breathing and right nostril breathing. It might happen on a sort of micro scale of seconds or hours or whatever. Your body knows what it needs to do, which nostril it needs to activate at this moment. And you're thinking, why would it matter between left and right? Well, the thing is, and I don't know the science behind this yet, why, but when you breathe in through your left nostril or breathe out through your left nostril, when you use that lefty, that activates the parasympathetic branch of your nervous system that calms you down. So you could actually do this. You can plug up your right nostril with your thumb. This is getting closer to actually picking your nose, but don't actually pick it. You can just plug it up without going all the way in. And if you breathe out just through your left, you're going to calm down. Then you do the opposite. Do some right nostril breathing, for example. Plug up the left, breathe out through the right. That's going to increase your action, your energy, your focus. And you don't need to plug them up consciously. Your body will know when it needs to either calm itself down or crank itself up. And so that's what's going on when maybe in the morning or the night or whatever time you notice, oh, it's pumping out through the left. And then you check it again later, and now it's going through the right, and just fluctuates, balances back and forth throughout the day, just like all the other hormones and cycles in our bodies. How magical is that? But you can consciously change this by just doing some left nostril or not right or right nostril breathing. So if you want to just pump yourself up, pump it out to the right. You want to calm yourself down, lay down into the left. Okay, tool number three. Now we're getting into the eyes. When we view objects nearby and we focus in on one little target, like I'm staring at this beautiful baby tree on my desk or this pen in my hand in front of my eyes, I feel a burst of energy. I focus. I'm literally focusing my visual attention on a tiny sliver of the world. And what that does is it also increases my mental attention, my mental energy and activity. I get cranked up inside. So narrowing your vision. A lot of technologies force us into this, actually. The smartphone, the TV, the computer, even a book. It gets our eyes pointing inward, focusing in on the visual environment. And when we focus in on the visual environment, we focus internally as well, which helps us get work done. So it doesn't matter what you look at. Look at something, look at anything. Of course, the more exciting the object is, a beautiful woman, a delicious donut, probably the more it's going to help you focus for better or worse. But focus on something, and that's going to kind of get the whole sympathetic branch of the nervous system going up, working, turning you on in every sense of the word. And then if you want to calm down, zoom out. Open up those eye muscles, those extraocular muscles that turn your eyes left to right, that tense the lens, all of that. Just zoom out, look at a big horizon, look at the panoramic view around you. Don't focus in on any particular object. This naturally happens when we go out into nature. It naturally happens when we walk. We just take a casual walk. When we see a beautiful sky or ocean or anything that is just too overwhelming and encapsulating, that there's no one piece of it that is going to drive our attention. Do that. Just zoom out, look out at the horizon, look out. And that will calm you down. Literally, because you're taking in less specific information, you're kind of just letting the world wash over you like a bath. You're not diving in. You're just floating in the sea with your eyes. And that's how you're going to feel. Calm, relaxed. The parasympathetic nervous system is going to be blowing bubbles in the bath. Okay, tool number four, heat. Hot is going to wake you up, get you focused and energized, and cold is going to calm you down and put you to sleep. Of course, if you go too far in one direction, the body doesn't like imbalances, so it's going to switch on the other mode. So you might notice after taking a cold plunge that actually you get energy. That's because your body was too much in that cold state, and now it has to switch on the heat. And when you go to the sauna, same thing. In there, you might be all heated up and activated, but then afterwards, you're all calm and relaxed. So while I'm talking about how these things are opposites, they're kind of two sides of the same coin. Each of these things, inhale and the exhale, the right nostril and left nostril, the hot and the cold. These aren't different things. Your body's not going to let you just completely consciously change what's going on in your body. You can do it. Okay, I'm going to inhale more. I'm going to exhale more. I'm going to turn on the heat. But your body doesn't want to die. It wants equilibrium. So it will go back in the other direction naturally. So there's a little bit of rebound effect there, which is it's good or bad depending on what you're doing, how extreme you go in one direction. But naturally, we might be too far in one direction. We might just be too stressed out. We might be too focused. We might be too calm. And so we have to kind of shift things in the other direction to overcome our habits and overcome our environment and just kind of give ourselves a little mental, physical push. Okay? So yeah, in general, hot, the heat, that's information coming into you. That's going to activate your system. And the cold is going to essentially calm you down and put you to sleep, relax you, start turning all the systems down. And the same thing is happening within your neurons. You know, when they're all heated up, they're firing. Yeah, they're working. That's dopamine, that's serotonin, that's adrenaline, that's everything. But then you turn them down and they're just chilling. They're just chilling. So are you. Number five, let's talk about light. And now you're like, dude, this is common sense now. I get it. Why do you keep going? I'm just going to keep going. Light. When we see light, and the more light we see, the more that is also going to wake us up and get us energized and focused. So once again, going out and get that morning sunlight, but getting any sunlight, getting any light anytime during the day, you know, that's going to get you energized and awake. So that can be from the sun, it could be from your phone, it could be from your virtual reality headset. It doesn't matter. Light is light. Yeah, and of course, outdoors, you're going to get more photons, you're going to get more light information, more energy that's entering your system and turning you on. But you're still going to get it from these little man-made gadgets. So this can be a tool. Maybe it's better to look at your phone at noon than it is at midnight. Maybe it makes more sense to open your eyes during the day and close them at night to turn off that visual light colored world, go to sleep, and then wake up and see all those colors and shapes and everything. And it's not the colors and shapes or the movements of the objects out there in the world that are really waking you up. Yes, that does play a role, but the real power is these other neurons in your eye, the melanopsin, intrinsically photosensitive ganglion cells that really just tell your body what time of day it is, where and when are you in space and time. This communicates to the suprachiasmatic nucleus and all that, and then also all your cells and organs and everything, and just basically turning everything on neurochemically and mechanically and everything. And then, so the opposite would just be darkness. Darkness is a tool for calm, for relaxing, for entering that parasympathetic mode. I apologize for keep repeating the same words, calm, parasympathetic, relax, focus, but this is a language. This is what I've got. Okay, yeah, so darkness. Darkness will calm you down. Darkness, cold, the exhale, far away, the left nostril, these are all friends. Then on the other side, the sort of Wario Shadow Link side twin of these is light, heat, narrow focused in vision on a single target, the right nostril, the inhale. And there are more of these. We're only halfway done. Number six, the number six tool for focusing you is head up. Put your head up. Look up. Look up. Do it now. How do you feel? My God. It's like a shot of espresso in my neck. Yeah, that's right. When you look up, what's going to happen is your eyelids are naturally going to open and this piece of your brainstem is going to get activated. And the brainstem is involved in, you know, wakefulness, of course, right? So that's going to wake you up when you look up. So maybe if you're feeling tired in the afternoon, you don't need that extra coffee. You don't need a bag of candy, which is a horrible idea anyway. Just look up. Hold it there for 20, 30 seconds. And that'll do the trick. So once again, like, this is all about behavioral free, healthy, sort of low risk behavioral tools, things that are evolved into us from the beginning of Homo sapiens, essentially, for most of our time here on this planet in existence. Let's use these things. These have been time tested and proven to work. And then the calming down, the going, shutting it all off, going to sleep, the relaxing is head down, neck down. And you'll notice the converse happens. So all these body parts, as we learned from Feldenkrais, are all connected together. They all work in tandem with one another. You can consciously, for example, yeah, put your head up and close your eyelids, but that's going to be really hard to do and it's going to feel awkward. Naturally, the eyelids open and the head up, that brainstem activation, that all kind of goes together along with hundreds of other supposed parts of your body. But the converse happens when you look down. Your eyelids naturally close. That brainstem tells your body and brain to kind of stop, relax, go to sleep, shut it down. So you can do these little head movements. And there are others, but we're not going to get into them today with left and right and eye movements, left and right and all this stuff that can also do things. But let's just stick to 10 because that's more than enough for you to chew on. And honestly, yeah, you probably already know all these things. It's common sense, but it's just good to get reminded and put it all together in one tiny little 10-pack, little 10-packer. Seven, sound. Simply put, any sound, any of that audio information coming into you, that is going to wake you up more and get you focused. I don't care if it's pop or rock and roll or hip-hop or sounds of whales. Essentially, noise is going to turn it all on more than no noise, than silence itself. And yeah, of course, the more energy that's packed into that music, the more electromagnetic energy there is, the higher the hertz and all of that, the louder it is, the higher pitched it is, all of that. Yeah, that's going to get you more going, going to get you more focused. But focused on what? But still, you could take that focus from that music, whatever it is, and then turn it off, and then you're in this sort of focused mode that you can then redirect to maybe more productive activity like your work or some other meaningful project you're trying to get done. So you could turn on that music and then turn it off, you know, just to get things activated. You could pull all these things together, too. You can go outside, walk around, stare at a rock, a little baby bird or something, do some right nostril breathing, some inhaling, and look up at the sky, head up, while listening to some music. Yeah, this is going to wake you up. Or you can do the opposite, you know? You can exhale, laying down on your bed, staring out at the ceiling, turning on the air conditioner, getting all cold, and turning off the lights, getting it dark, head down, and then laying still. Yes, number eight is movement. Any kind of movement. That's going to get you activated. That's going to turn on the sympathetic nervous system. It's going to get you moving and focused. And this isn't much of a surprise because movement is tied to dopamine, and dopamine is sort of the one of the neurochemicals of focus. And all those other chemicals activated, released whenever you move. or tend to be released when you move, things like adrenaline and norepinephrine and cortisol, those are also going to wake you up and get the energy going up, right? And then on the other side of that twin, the Luigi to this Mario, is stillness. Not moving, just laying there. It makes sense why we sleep all frozen and not moving. Our eyes move, but that's about it, right? It makes sense why we sleep better in the cold, in the dark. Slowing down, even our breath and heart slows down. It's just less movement. We don't want to be completely still, because then we die. We'd be a rock, we'd be a fossil. But we want to slow it down. Get closer to stillness. So yeah, the silence, the quiet, that'll calm you down. The most obvious thing anyone's ever said probably before. Now you're probably turning this off. The stillness too, the lack of movement. Stillness, the not moving too much, but also not as much information and stuff out there moving into you and moving around you. The sounds, the light, the visuals, just less movement in general, inside and outside. No ups and downs, no left and rights, just being as close to just being there as you can. Getting closer to death, and therefore getting closer to life, but just being right at that sweet spot. We are just alive. Where you're moving just as much as you need to. But any kind of stillness, whatever you could do, just that'll help you calm down. And then the more you can move, and the greater the movements, I mean, the harder the exercise, the more energy it takes, the more muscle movement, the more everything is firing. Yeah, common sense, they'll fire you up, they'll get you into focus, concentration mode. Okay, number 9. The mouth. Open mouth is going to focus you. It's going to turn on focus mode. And why would we open our mouths? Well, we do it for breathing. When you breathe in through your mouth, that's going to activate the sympathetic branch more. It's going to get you more of that healthy or unhealthy stress, depending on how much or how often you do it. But a little bit of mouth breathing will wake you up and will help you focus. So use it carefully as a tool, not as a habit. As a habit, that will likely put you in a chronic stressed out state, and we don't want long-term stress, really. And we also open our mouth when talking. So talking itself, and teachers and anyone with a job who talks a lot, or a life that in which they're just really, really social, they'll realize that you get tired after being around those people. And it's not just being around the people and, you know, checking up on what they're thinking about you and all that, but it's your mouth is running and running and running, and it's not just the words that are coming out and the brain being activated, but it's all that carbon dioxide being pushed out through the mouth. It's just too much mouth activity. And the mouth wakes us up. The mouth gets us energized. But if you use it too much, like I said, you know, the seesaw is going to gonna tilt in the other direction, and you're gonna feel tired afterwards. So nothing comes for free. You can't just choose to be on one extreme and say, I want to be calm forever. Oh, I want to be focused forever. I want to be with my friends all day. I want to be alone all day. I want to always be still. I want to live in a cold, snowy mountain in winter, and I want to be winter forever. No, summer will come. Day will come. Your body will not let you stay stuck. However good or bad you might think it is, or it might feel like it is, the cycle will keep churning and you will keep it changing along with it. There are seasons in the world and there are seasons in your body and mind. On a minute to minute and day to day and year to year and life to life basis. I mean, if there is such thing as reincarnation, if we do have an afterlife, I'm sure it will be a bit of a rebound from what we did here on this planet called Earth as a person called you or me or Bobby or Johnny or Keisuke or Samantha. We also open our mouths when we eat, and that will give us energy It will get our overall body activated, but particularly our digestive system, and that's going to divert the flow of energy away from our brain and into our gut and stomach and all of that. But it will be energy, and it will, say, disrupt your sleep or disrupt your ability to think or do other things. So it might make more sense to eat when you want energy, when you want to be activated, you want action. So what is that? Lunch? Maybe a late breakfast? Maybe an early dinner? When you're doing things? When you want to do things? But it, once again, there's a rebound effect. After you get the energy, you get the crash. And someone's too much energy, like what's packed into these coffees and sugary drinks. And I'm not saying any of these things are good or bad, but when you get that sort of spike of energy, there will be a spike of non-energy, of calm or shutting down or whatever you want to call it. And there are different places along this spectrum. It's not just focus and calm. There are things like grunginess and like that dirty stress and that beautiful tranquility and that flow. And there's all these different places along here. So there's kind of good versions of calm and there's sort of dirty versions of calm. And yeah, it's that like a hangover, for example. What is that? Or what is that, that crash after that peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It's kind of a dirty calm. But when you're eating it, you're getting cranked up, cracked out. Okay, and then the other side of that would be mouth closed. So when you close your mouth, when you breathe in more through your nose, through your nostrils, breathe out through your nostrils as well, that's going to lead to more of a calm, relaxed, parasympathetic state. But once again, if you're always nose breathing, you might be too calm. It might throw off the balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen and energy and rest and all that stuff. So your body will naturally probably open its mouth when it needs to. If you're running really, really hard, you're going to open your mouth, whether you like it or not. But what we're talking about today is how to consciously change our brain state from focus to calm, or back and forth, or whichever one we want it to be in. So you can open or close your mouth depending on your current goals at the moment, what time of day it is, whether you want to go to sleep or whether you want to work, for example. Whether you want to be creative or just following the rules, to be passive or active. Just figure out what your goals are at the moment, and then you can use any of these tools, like the mouth or the neck from looking up, or the heat or the light or the inhale or the sounds or any of that stuff, to shift you into the mode that you need to be in right now. And then use the other ones. Use the other sides of the coins. Use the exhales and the cold and the dark and looking down and all these things to turn it off. So these are all parts of your autonomic nervous system. Your body's going to be doing all of these things like breathing and moving around and looking, viewing the world outside of your conscious control. But if you can consciously control it, that's going to help you, you know, when you really need it. So these are sort of a little short-term tricks you can use to redirect the flow of your nervous system. Okay, and number 10 tool for focus is generally closing up your body, clenching your hands, crossing your feet, crossing your arms, crunching up your face, flexing your muscles, just flexing it all, and closing it up and turning into a dirty jumble of rocks. That will wake you up. I know it's going to be stress, but that's what focus is. Focus is a kind of feature of focus, kind of is stress. It's a version of it. It's a feature of it. You're not going to be able to focus or get things done without stress. This is sort of the good side of it. It helps us. And you'll notice and you'll feel that stress when you cross your arms or you clench your hands or you cross your feet or even put your hands in your pocket or just flex your muscles. That's not going to feel really good, but it will in a way, depending on the degree that you do it. It'll get you energized. And then you unflex, you uncross, you open up. And the opening up, the open body language that they tell us always to do in presentations and public speaking and stuff, that's going to relax you. That's going to shift it in the other direction. So unclench those hands. Don't cross your arms. Don't cross your feet. Relax your muscles. Don't be at the gym right now. Don't exercise. Don't walk. Just relax. And it totally makes sense why all 10 of these focus tools tend to happen in tandem together with one another. Usually, when we are moving, there's also sound. There's also a kind of clenching of a tightening of the muscles in the body. Our legs are moving and flexed. Our arms are moving back and forth. There's action. There's movement. We're outside. There's light coming into us. We see things. It's hot. Yeah, the vision will go this way or that. Maybe you might be walking around and focusing on a wider field of view on the wider world, this big panoramic vision, or you might target in on a little teeny tiny piece of your environment. Those red shoes clicking and clacking in front of you, or that bird in the sky, or the butterfly that just landed on your hand, if you're lucky, super lucky. Never happens to me, but you know. So all these things usually happen together. Sound, light, heat, closing in. And that's action. It's focus. And those are also daytime things. It's all daytime. It's information. It's life. And then we get to the other side, sort of closer to death, closer to night, closer to winter. And now it makes sense that, too, why do we even have winter in the first place? Just as our body is going through these cycles of focus and unfocus, energy and sleep and stress and non-stress and all that, the Earth itself, this larger organism that we are, is also fluctuating between these different states, you know? So we have winter and we have summer. We have night and day. Same thing is going on. We are just a tiny sort of microcosm of that larger phenomenon. So these calming activities, these calming behaviors, these tools that we provided today, cold, dark, head down, stillness. I don't know about the left nostril or the exhale, but I'm guessing when we're sleeping, we're probably exhaling more than inhaling. We're probably using our left nostril more, but I don't know if there have been studies done on this, or I don't know. It'd be something interesting to look into, but my guess is that's probably happening. If we're sleeping correctly, if we're sleeping deeply, our mouth will be closed, and the open mouth is going to lead to poorer sleep. It's associated with things like sleep apnea and snoring and just overall less quality sleep. So our mouth is going to be closed. Our body will be open. Our hands will be open. Our body will be open. Our legs might be spread on that bed. We're just laying all... Yeah, parts of our body might be clenched for this reason or that, but generally the more relaxed your body is, the more kind of open and spread out it is, the better you're going to sleep. If you tuck into a tiny ball and cross your arms and cross your legs and crunch up your face and you're working out and moving your muscles in your sleep, you're not going to be able to fall asleep. You have to open up. You have to relax everything in your body. You can't be all crossed up and crunched up. So yeah, all these things, silence and stillness and cold and dark and head down, and it's beautiful. This is night. This is sleep. This is the ultimate calm. And then the ultimate action, the ultimate focus, when you're running that marathon or you're in the middle of battle, you're doing all the opposite things. So yeah, these are just 10 different, I guess it's 20 different tools we can use to either increase our focus or our calm. There's these 10 little coins that we can flip in different directions, these 10 little seesaws, little superhero teams that we can use, and these tag teams that we can bring in one guy here, bring in one guy there throughout the day, throughout our lives, to get us into the state that we want to be in. I apologize if this went on for too long and I repeat a lot of information, but it might not have been anything new for you, but I hope this is at least a nice reminder to be a bit more conscious of and aware of how powerful this body of ours and this environment of ours is. We don't need drugs. We don't need as much food as we think we need. What we eat, yes, it matters, but it costs money. It's tricky. Everybody's different. Drugs, pharmaceuticals, technology, all these things, they can be good. They can be bad. They're great, whatever. But these are newer parts of our evolution. And so the consistency of which one will work for you and which one will not work for you, it depends on a lot of different factors, and not everyone's going to react the same way to this food or that food or this technology or that technology. Yeah, there are trends because we have generally similar nervous systems, but these core parts of ourselves, the breathing and the way we change from heat and light and movement and sound, and the way our mouths and noses affect our brain and body, and the way our these lower brain structures, like our brainstem, and how our body position affects us, that's all really, really old stuff in this human organism. And it's going to more likely work across the board. And plus, it's free, and it's built into us. Might as well use it. And it also feels good to connect with ourselves and think, whoa, I got this remote control over myself, and I can switch things this way and that. And it's a sort of sense of freedom and autonomy and independence, you know, because you could do this stuff anywhere. You could be alone and poor and homeless, like my brother, and these things will still work. They're not going to get us all the way there, but they'll nudge us in one direction or the other. So when you're feeling extra down, extra sad, you know, maybe you can try some of these things. Or when you're up there on stage and you're nervous, you can try some of this. You're about to go on that date. You're about to hop into that interview. That job that you really, really want, you're too excited about. Maybe you got to turn on the calm, balance things out. Yeah, I can keep going on with this, and I'll try to dig into the nuts and bolts and details of some of these things later. For the time being, you could probably just Google it, or I'd recommend listening to Andrew Huberman. What a freaking bodhisattva angel came down to this earth. Dude, what a dude. And, yeah, I hope this helped, and I'll see you again next week.